You are listening to Overcomers Church International Podcast. Here at OCI, we are dedicated to our vision of building strong people and building strong churches. From wherever you are listening, we hope that this message leaves you equipped and encouraged.
Psalms 23 is one of my favorite passages. It's really where I learn to meditate on the Word of God. It's where I learn to hear His voice. It's where I learn to trust Him, where I learn to get revelation. So, and that is a promise from God that His goodness is going to follow us all the days of our life. And me standing here is a testimony of Jesus that the goodness of God will follow you all the days of your life. And when you will just surrender your life to God, when you will surrender your will to the Lord, He'll use you in great and mighty ways, ways far beyond anything you can ever hope, dream, or imagine. And just like as I have been, and I'm going to share this a little bit with you, unpacking prophecy and unpacking words that God has given me, He actually showed me before I'm here, but I just didn't know because my eyes weren't open, because I didn't have understanding, because I didn't know what it was, a special gift that He had given me so long ago. I didn't realize that it was a gift. But all throughout the whole word, you see where God would reveal, especially to the prophets, to the men and women of God, and they would, He would reveal to them what He was going to do. And then He would say, now I want you to go tell the people and then watch what it is that I'm going to do. And so, I love those stories. And He has done that, I believe, for each and every one of us. Sometimes though, we're just not privy. We don't know exactly what it is that He has given us or the people that He has placed around us to breathe life into us, to help put wind into our sails, to help steer us kind of in the right direction. And not only will He send people to declare the word of the Lord to you, He also sent His word to declare the word of the Lord to us. And we have such an honor and such a privilege to live right now in this age where we have the word of God, and live in a country where we don't have to rip out a page and learn it and just know it and then hand it off to somebody hoping that we'll get another page. We get the entirety of the Bible at our fingertips. And not only, mostly, probably most of us have a whole bunch of Bibles. We take that for granted. Dust off your Bible. Open it up. Begin to read it. It says it is light and it is life to the people who read it. And so the other day I just been stewing on this. And so it's kind of my journey through stewarding prophetic words, stewarding the word of God, stewarding a vision of the Lord. Right now I'm wearing a shirt. It says Gladiator Trainer. So this is like next level stewarding a word of God, because that's been declared over us that we are gladiator trainers. And somebody was so kind to put that on a shirt, because the thing is, right, we forget about things unless we see them continually. That's why the Lord said, put the word in front of your eyes. Keep it hidden in your heart so that it can help steer you in the right way. So as I was waking one morning or walking or something, the Lord began to speak to me about Paul and show me things about Paul. And I just heard in my spirit. And when I read this in the word, I was just like, Jesus, that is what I want. That is what I want. And so this is found in Acts 26:19. And this is when Paul was standing. He was at the end of his life and he was giving account to the king, King Agrippa. And he was declaring what it is that he had come here for. And, you know, he was making a compelling, like, argument of what it is that he had been doing and why it is that he had been doing the things that he had been doing. And he said out of his mouth, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. I want to stand at the end of my life before man and before God and say, God, I was not a disobedient daughter. I was an obedient daughter. And being obedient sometimes is hard, but I'll tell you, the more you are obedient, the easier it gets. Every time you say yes to the Lord, it gets easier and easier. And the thing is that he'll start asking you to say yes with the smallest things. One time I was just running and we had moved, like geographically moved. And so the route I was just accustomed to, I was beginning to go run that. And I got, you know, just a little bit down the road and he said, will you run a different way? And I was like, okay. So I turned around and ran, but that was being obedient. And another time he said, you know, will you go give this person a hug? Yes, I could do that. But there are many times where I said no, because it's scary. It's like, hey, will you go up to this gentleman and will you tell him that I love him? And I was like, that, no, I can't do that because it requires me to not care about myself, but to care about him more. I think, you know, that time I did do it, I was running and I was like, I don't want to, I don't want to, I don't want to. And then his porch is right there and I was like, okay, I'm going to go tell him. And, you know, just being obedient and continuing to say yes to God is the best choices that we can ever make. And so I want to be like Paul and I want to get to the end of my life and say I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Paul also said in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight of faith. I have finished the race and I have kept the faith. I want to fight the good fight of faith, and that's a little bit what we're going to talk about here. I want to say at the end, just like Jesus said, I did everything that you asked me to do, God. I did everything that you designed in your heart and you saw for me to do. Did you know that God saw things for you to do? That he designed you for a specific purpose, that he placed you in the earth right now. He said, this is your time. This is your time. I chose you. I picked you. I formed you. I fashioned you. And I said, now is the time for you to be here. So you were designed specifically with plans and purposes that were in his heart before the foundations of the world. What happens if we become a people who really get a revelation that I was designed for a purpose, just like Esther said, that now is the time that I will do the thing that it is that God has placed me here. Like all of my life has led up to this moment. But there are lots of those moments. There's lots of those opportunities that God designed specifically for you to see and to do so that you could end your life. And here's the thing, no condemnation. No condemnation. If you have not ever asked the Lord or sought the Lord or thought that you were designed for a plan or purposes and that God had special dreams and his heart for you, if this is the first time you're hearing this or you didn't even know about this, God can catch you up. I am a living testimony right now that I didn't get it. I didn't get it for a really long time. And I mean, I know I'm not that old, but like technically I probably, you know, could have lived half of my life now. I mean, that's kind of mind-boggling when I think about it. I've lived half of my life. And for probably, you know, 30 years of my life, I wasn't doing exactly what God had envisioned for me to do. I wasn't doing anything bad. I was doing good things. But I hadn't honed in and really grabbed a hold of or asked the Lord, God, what is it that you designed for me? What is it that you saw for me? I didn't even know to do that, honestly. I didn't know to do it. But I began reading the word and seeing things in scriptures. And I read this that Paul said, I was not disobedient to the vision. And I was like, Lord, I don't want to be disobedient to the vision. I want to stand at the end of my life and said, I did everything that you asked me to do. So how do I do that? And what vision am I even talking about? And if you will flip over to Acts 9, well, we can actually, hold on, before we do that, in Acts 26, if we go back here just a little bit before this, Paul recounts his conversion. He accounts, you know, Paul had a road to Damascus experience. That's a mouthful to say. He had a moment in time where God encountered him and literally rocked his life. But I want to show you this word that he said that actually caused the conversion to happen, that caused him to grab hold of the vision of God, that caused him to go the course that Jesus, that God had designed for him. Because, you know, Paul, he was running completely opposite the other way. He was persecuting God's people. He was killing them. He was on his way to go get people to kill them for proclaiming the name of Jesus. And on the road right there, God encountered him and said, "What are you doing? This is not what I designed and saw for you. Will you change? Will you seek me? Will you know me?" So in verse, let's see, in verse 14, so this is Acts 26 and 14, well, 15. Paul had an encounter, well, I'll just read 14. "And when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard.'" And then, "It's hard for you to kick against the goats. So I said, 'Who are you, Lord?'" Paul said this. "Who are you, Lord?" He acknowledged God as Lord. This is a number one vital step that we have to take. Jesus isn't just Savior. God just isn't the one who redeemed us and saved us. I mean, and praise God that he did that. But we have to make him Lord, because until we say, "God, you are Lord, and I am your servant who is willing to be commanded, who is willing to do whatever it is at whatever cost," we'll never do it. He has to become Lord. And God is saying, "Will you allow me to be Lord of your life? Will you lay down? Will you surrender your will?" I mean, and what Pastor Kit was saying at that moment, you know, Jesus lived a life of a surrendered servant to God, his Father. But in that moment, he was faced with the reality of death and dying. He knew that he was going to be separated from his Father because he was going to take all of our sins, and he knew that it would cost him everything. But he loved us so much that he was willing to do it. But he asked God still, "Will you take this away from me? Do I have to do this?" But he said, "Not my will, but your will be done," because Jesus, or because God was Lord to him. Oftentimes we're unwilling to let God be Lord of our lives. We want to be Lord of our lives. And quite frankly, I wasn't being a very good Lord of my life. I wasn't, like I said, I wasn't doing anything bad. I loved God. I was saved. I was filled with the Holy Ghost. But I was doing what it is that I wanted to do, not asking God what it is that he actually saw for me. And again, I was ignorant. I didn't know these things. Plus, I actually didn't even have a desire. And part of my testimony is that when Pastor and I were going about, and really, like, we were at, it was after Bible college, but we were like, we're in it. Like, this is what we're going to do. And I was like, "Remember, he's the called one, not me." Well, guess what? You're all called. You're all called of the Lord. We're all designed to do different things, specific things, but we are all called. God called you. He knows your name. He has plans and purposes for you. He called you. So Pastor said, I'll lay it all down. Because, you know, like at this point, like, I'm like, I'll ride off of your coattails. You hear God. I'm going to just be mom, wife, work. It's fine. I don't care. I don't need to know more. I don't want to know more, quite frankly. Nobody needs to hear my voice. They just need to know you. And he said, "I'm going to have to lay it all down, because this will cause division between me and you. and it won't be okay. I won't sacrifice our marriage for the call of God on my life. And I was like, I was faced with the reality. And he said, what you have to do is you have to ask God for the desire. I can't put the desire in you. I can't put the wanting in you. So that was a moment, a mark in my life where I said, God, and let me tell you, it was not a beautiful thing. It was like a Hannah experience. I was messy. I was angry. I was annoyed. I think I was really irritated because he was calling me up higher. And if you know anything about him and me, that's what we do. We call people to come up higher. We say, let's go. You are designed. You are made for a purpose with the calling on your life. So let me help pull you up. Let me help get you out of being stagnant and comfortable. And come on, let's go. We have work to do. And that's what he was doing. And quite frankly, I was really irritated. I didn't want to do it. I was like, Lord, I have this even written down. I don't want to desire more of you, God. I don't even think that I should desire more of you. I am not the one that's called, but apparently I'm going to have to desire more of you. So God, help me to desire you at all. Help me, whatever it is exactly that I said, you have to put it in me because I don't desire it right now. And he's so good. He encountered me that night and he had reminded me of a vision, a heavenly vision that I had had 10 years before that, where God was solidifying and placing revival and ministry and calling and purpose in my life. I just didn't know what that was then. I didn't know how to take that word and begin to go before the Lord with it and unpackage it and ask him what he's trying to say to me or what he's declaring. And at that point, I didn't know. I was 19 years old. I didn't know anything about dreams. I didn't know anything about visions. I didn't know that God would speak to me and that he was declaring things over me. I didn't know anything. I was very ignorant in the word of God. I just knew at that point that I wanted to marry Pastor Kent and that we would live happily ever after. That's honestly, that was like my goal in life, I think. Marry him, have his kids, him pastor. That's it. That's it. That was my existence, which is fine. But God had more for me. So God, you know, Paul said here, Lord. And Lord then began to unpackage things to him. I am Jesus whom you are persecuting, but rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose. For this purpose, God is wanting to appear to you and encounter you for a purpose which he designed beforehand. We'll get to that. To make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and the things which I will reveal to you. God wants to and longs to and desires to reveal plans and purposes to you. It is one of his most favorite things to do. He wants to see his children rise to their potential, to do all the things that he saw beforehand for them to do, because you're awesome and you are mighty and you are powerful. So Paul had this experience, and we know that from this point on, instead of killing the Gentiles and the Jews for preaching Jesus, he became one of the radical ones, right, that were preaching Jesus, and then he began to go through persecution himself. But praise God, he was able to get to this place. And so I want to just read Romans. Before I get there. In Acts 9 and verse 6, he began in this vision that he was having with the Lord when he recognized, well, first verse 5, 9 and 5, he said, who are you, Lord? So that is a powerful question also. Because when we begin to ask God who he is, he will reveal that to us in a mighty way. And the Lord said, I am Jesus who you are persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goad. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? You've revealed yourself to me. Now, what is it that you want me to do? What plans and purposes have you designed for me? So God's saying, I have plans and purposes for you, and I want to reveal them to you. But Paul's response, so there's always God. It's so amazing and awesome to me that oftentimes, and you'll see this in the Word, God will, and Jesus, they'll be saying things, but they often ask a question. Like, he'll ask you a question. Why is it that he asks you a question? It's because he's seeking and longing for fellowship. Because, right, what comes out of questions? Fellowship, communion. A response is required when we ask a question. So tune your ears in, open your heart up, and be prepared to be ready to hear questions that God wants to answer. But here's the thing, he's so good that oftentimes he'll give you the answer. He just wants the fellowship and the communion, right? So ask the question. What do you want me? He asked the question, what do you want me to do? And so partly in Paul's willingness to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, that God is Lord, and make him Lord over your life, it just made me think about Rome. And so Paul was on this discovery, right? I think in this moment, he had quite an encounter and quite a vision, but then, you know, he set himself apart for a season where he just got more word and he got more revelation. He got more understanding of who God is and was, so that he could then go fulfill the purpose that he had for him. And so, then you can say, all right, how do I find the will of God? How do I find it? In Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says, well, first off is surrender. Surrender is so powerful. It's laying down our life. It's the thing, you know, Jesus said to gain your life, you have to lose it. And a lot of us are unwilling to lose our life. Like, you look at the rich young ruler, and God said, give up everything. And he was unwilling to do that because he had worked so hard and whatever. He had all these things, and he was quite frankly enjoying his life. And he was like, you're going to ask me to lay that down so that I can do what? Can I do the what with the things that I have? Why has it got to cost me anything? And the beautiful thing is, and God knew this, is that when we surrender, we actually find. When we lay down our wants, our wishes, our wills, somehow in him, they get fulfilled better and greater. And it comes out of that obedience and that surrender with him. So Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, there, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves or your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And then don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove out what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And so in this moment where we're not being conformed anymore to the image of this world, because the world's fighting for you to be conformed to it. But God's saying that if you get into my word, I'll begin to transform you. And that word transform is like metamorpho. So it's like the picture that we get of the caterpillar into the butterfly. This process of transformation. It's a process of transformation. You can have one encounter with God and it can touch you and it can burn you and it can change you and you can feel so excited. But if you don't continue to get into the Word of God and make yourself a living sacrifice on a daily basis, sometimes a moment by moment basis, then you won't be transformed. And I want to be transformed. I have been transformed, but it's a continual process. A caterpillar doesn't just turn into a butterfly overnight. A caterpillar, and the picture the Lord gave me, you know, when you're seeing somebody who's having a transformed life, they go from being on the ground of the earth to being in the air of heaven. What a picture. We're crawling on the ground. We're not seeing all the things. We're content with what's before us and what's beneath us. But we can get to this place with the Lord where we actually realize that we have His righteousness and that we are seated in heavenly places far above all principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. We have the best and greatest perspective when we are transformed and when we have been renewing our mind to the Word of God. And actually, that is where we find the will of God. And when we find the will of God, then that is where faith can begin. And when we have faith, we can see mountains move. We can see dead things come to life. We can see things that were not okay be okay again. And actually, we are people who are called to live by faith and not by sight. We are called to be the victorious ones, the overcoming ones. We're called to have faith and to stand in faith. One thing that Paul said, which I, you know, share with you at the beginning, is that he fought the good fight of faith and he finished his race. So how did he fight the good fight of faith and finish his race? He said, Jesus is the Lord. And he began to ask God what it is that he wanted him to see and show him, and then how to just continue fulfill that. And we know Paul, like, he didn't live like an easy life. he had to stand. He had to have such resoluteness on the inside of God. He had to be so connected to the heart of the Father, to the will of God, and to the purpose that he was created for, so that he could finish his race. Because some things, they came against him. Have some things come against you? So it's like, how do I keep standing? How do I keep fighting? And I know oftentimes we feel so depleted and we feel so down and we feel so discouraged and we feel like, really, this is what life is about? You're telling me that I have plans and purposes. I want to show you this in Psalms 139 that God has. I can remember when I saw this for the first time and I was undone. Psalms 139. I think I have this in my notes here. Da, da, da. Somewhere. Psalms 139 and 16. It says, well, I don't have it in my notes. So let me turn there. Give me a moment. You guys will. Okay, Psalms 139. The whole chapter is pretty amazing. I love it so much. The Word of God, I love so much. I know I say that. I know I say that so much. But I love the Word so much because I love God so much. I do. I really do. So 16 says, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. Here's what I want you to hear. And in your book, they were all written for you. The days fashioned for me when there was none of them. God has written a book about your life. And actually, there's volumes. If you look in Hebrews, I really thought, oh, here we go. Hebrews 10:7 says, then I said, behold, I have come, and in the volume of the book, it is written of me. There are volumes of books. There are chapters. God has written a story about you. It is so amazing, and he wants you to begin to discover it. And I know you guys have heard me say that I have this book of life. I began, you know, Paul said, what is it that you want me to do? Show me, Lord. And God said, I'm going to continue to reveal things to you. What are the things, God, you want to reveal to me? When I saw this written in scripture, when I saw that there were things that God had fashioned for me, that there were a book that he had written about me, I said, Lord, I want to know. What did you write about me? Who do you say that I am? What have you declared over me? What are you saying about me? I want to know. And like, he didn't like download it all in like 1 second, but it has been a journey over these last, I don't know, 10 years. Well, actually, you know, I had this first encounter when I was 19. Then I had it again in 2000. And then I had it again in 2019. And then when I was here ministering, the Lord unfolded more to me about this vision that he had showed me so long ago. And he just keeps unpacking it, because the thing is that he'll give us words. He'll give us the word, but it is our responsibility to to have due diligence to ask him. And then when we get it, when we ask, it says, call to me and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things that you don't know. So we have this expectation that when we call to him, that he is going to answer us. So what are we going to do with the things that he tells us? Like, that is a real question that we need to ask ourselves, that we have to be willing. Like, God's telling us things. He's declaring things. He is sending people across your path. I don't know if you realize this, but we have a very much a prophetic culture here. You're going to see this come alive next week when we're going to put boards on the wall back there. And we're going to, and we've been teaching the kids in kids church to go into the throne zone, to go into their prayer caves and begin to ask God what he's saying. What are you declaring right now? And he tells them things, and it's so beautiful. And then they hear things and they see things and they begin to draw and they begin to write. And then they get opportunity to come out up here and declare what it is that they saw. But then we have a responsibility as a prophetic people, well, as people of God, to take the words that we receive and do something with them. Otherwise, they're sitting idle. And I don't like to be an idle person. Now, don't get me wrong. I sit and I rest, but I don't like to be idle. I don't like to take what God has spoken and not add value to it and not put it before my eyes and not keep it hidden inside of my heart. So we have these prophecies. Let's see. Jeremiah 30:20 says, write in a book for yourself all the words that I've spoken to you. Because we know Jeremiah, he was a prophet, and God would declare things to him. And he told Jeremiah, I have called you at a young age, and I'm going to begin to give you things so that you can declare them to the people. And then he began to say, Jeremiah, what is it that you see? And so then he began to tell him what he saw. And God said, you've seen well. I'm ready to perform my word. So take, and then he told Jeremiah, go prepare. Get ready so that when I can call you, you're ready to go. And so I've been in this season of preparing and taking these words and putting them before my eyes. And so that's why I say we all have phones. We all have these smartphones that, or notepads for years and years. I just took a picture. I should have shared it of all my journals. And I was flipping through them and I'm like, God, you've revealed so much to me. And you're just so faithful, and just watch. You can see yourself grow through this. And I know that we're not all writers, but I would encourage you to write. And so I transitioned to my iPad here because I was having notebooks. Like, my bag was getting so heavy because I'd have all these notebooks. And I just got them out yesterday. They were in a tub in the storage area, and I lined them out, and I just was being so thankful to the Lord. But he began to tell me just what he told Jeremiah, to write out specifically your book of life. And so I have written out, I have a document. It has right now just 19 pages of things. Like, it's not everything that God has spoken to me, but it's the things that feel very relevant and very real and very raw, and the things that I know that I need to attach my faith to. But that's just one step, you guys. And so the main thing that I wanted to say is that How did he fight the good fight of faith? How did he finish strong? He was still standing when he finished. He still had a lot of zeal and fervor for the Lord. He still loved God. He was still trying to convert people until the day he died. He was still writing till the day he died. And he wasn't weary and he wasn't tired. And he was going forward with everything that was in him because he had an understanding that God is real, that he has plans and purposes for you, that he wants to encounter you, that he wants to love on you. He wants you to realize all the things that it is that are within you that he's called you to. And so partly how we fight, because we know in 2 Corinthians 10, it says that our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty in God. And so oftentimes we fight this good fight of faith in our own ability and in our own strength. And sometimes we even take the word of God, but it's powerful in and of itself. So don't get me wrong there. God's word is alive and it is active. It is powerful. It is the sword. It is the thing that cuts. It is so powerful. It is the sword in our mouth. But what happens when it becomes so real to you, when you have taken ownership of the word and specific words, and you start yielding that sword and you start using that weapon? Because we know in 1 Timothy 1:18, it says, this I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you. The prophecies, past tense. All the things that have been declared over you, all the things that have been spoken to you, these words that I have sent my messengers to declare to you, the words that I have showed you, take those words. And use those words. Wage war. Hold on. Talking too much. It's fine. It's water. Does anybody have a mint? Okay, can I have one? Praise God. So, wage war. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Now I have to try to talk with a mint into a microphone. I'm going to finish up here. Not just because whatever. But, wage the good warfare. Having faith, or let's see, according to the prop. Meditate on that for a minute. Begin to ask the Lord to bring to your remembrance prophecies that he has spoken to you. Words that he has specifically designed for you to use as a weapon of warfare. Because again, we are not just carnal people. We are spiritual people. We are actually above and not beneath. We are the head and we are not the tail. And so we don't fight like the world fights. We fight differently. And one way we can wage good war is with these prophecies. So this is a prophecy that I have been given saying, I am a gladiator trainer, which makes you all gladiators, huh? How fun is that? So I can train and equip. I have to remind myself of this on a very regular basis. I'm a gladiator trainer. Pastor is a gladiator trainer. Who's going to come against the gladiator? And when a gladiator gets knocked down, guess what? They get back up. And if something tries to puncture their arm, they pull it out and use it. You know, like, get this picture. You are powerful. I can just even remember here recently, I was going through something. And I was crying out to the Lord. I had got weak. And I was, you know, just dealing with something. And I was just laying there, quite frankly, feeling sorry for myself, trying to pick myself back up. This is why prophecy is so vital and so important. Because sometimes we get weary in the doing good, even though we know not to get weary in the doing good. And we know that we have the faith of God, but sometimes it's like, I can't find your word. God, help me to find your word. Direct me, lead me. What is it that you've said to me? That's why it's good to write it down. So you can open up your phone and you'd be like, oh yeah, this is what you said to me and about me, so that I can begin to stir myself up, so that I can begin to encourage myself in the Lord. We can't always wait for somebody else to come and encourage us, okay? We have to be the ones to encourage ourselves. Not that we don't encourage each other, but sometimes we have to encourage ourselves. So I was crying and I was like, God, I feel so powerless right now. There's literally nothing I can do, but I know that you say that I'm not powerless, and I know that you say that I'm not beneath the circumstance, but I feel real beneath the circumstance right now. I'm just being real with you because it's real. Sometimes we feel beneath circumstances. Sometimes we feel like we're laying down and we are not powerful people. But I come to tell you, you aren't victims, you are victors, but more than victors, you are overcomers. So whatever is trying to overcome you has to stop in the name of Jesus, because you're called to overcome it. So I was able to remember that I am a, I got the shirt out and I put it on and I said, you're a gladiator trainer. You're not supposed to be laying on the ground. So get up, woman of God. Get up, warrior, because there are, whoops, some things that God has spoken over me. He has said that you are a confident daughter. I can remember where I was when he spoke that to me. I was going to a conference and I had my head down because I was like, I'm nobody to all these people. I don't have what it is that they have. So I'll just come and keep my head down. And he said, you will no longer ever do this, confident daughter. You have something to bring to anywhere that you go. So from that day, I said, confident daughter. I am a confident daughter. He began to declare that I am radiant. So now I say, I'm a confident, radiant. And he says, daughter. And then he said, you're a warrior. And I was like, yeah, I'm a warrior. And sometimes I have to be careful because I'll be like, let's go. I'll fight, you know, in the spirit with these prophecies. But I don't want to just say bring it. Anyways, and so I began to then rise up. I began to take these prophecies that had been spoken over me, and I had written them down so that I was fighting the good fight of faith. And I'll tell you what, I became repositioned, and that opposition, it ceased, because it had to, because I stopped warring from a place of being under, and I took my proper authority. Guess what? You're called to have dominion. You are called, you have the authority given to you by God Almighty. You have the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwelling on the inside of you. If we would only be people who would realize that we have the power of God. I carry resurrection life. You carry, if you've been born again, resurrection life. And you can impart that into your situation. So I want to tell you, men and women of God, that you are chosen, that you are known, that you can fight the good fight of faith, that you can finish strong, that God has called you, He has designed you, and He has placed you in this earth for now. For now is the time for all of us to rise and to do what it is that God has seen in His heart for us to do in this hour, in this season. And part of that is revival. It's seeing souls saved. It's seeing hearts awaken. It's seeing the gospel, the good news of Jesus going forth. So will you rise? Will you say, Lord, here am I. Use me. Reveal to me. Will you take what He reveals to you and will you begin to etch them out on your heart? Will you begin to put them before your eyes? And not only that, then will you take those words and will you use them as a weapon of war? And you will see yourself transition, and you will see breakthrough happen, and you will see yourself overcoming, and you will overcome because you already have overcome. We just need to be reminded of it. Hallelujah. You are a mighty, strong people. Thank you, Jesus.
If God is changing your life through this ministry, join us in reaching others by partnering with us today. If you would like to give or would like more information on how we are making a difference, visit OvercomersChurchInternational.com.